Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 194, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode194. All right, now this is one of those episodes that really speaks for itself, and I want to get to it as quickly as possible. We're going to talk about the Laramie Project, and our guest today has quite a unique perspective with the piece and with Matthew Shepard. And we're also going to talk about some strategies to producing the play and avoiding some of the common pitfalls. All right, that's it. That's all I got. Let's get to it. Okay, I am here with Zach Schneider. Hi, Zach.
Hello.
And we are at the International Thespian Festival, so we have a little bit of excited din in the air. It's impossible to get away from.
I don't think you can go anywhere and get away from some of it.
But that's okay. It just gives us a nice background sound for our wonderful sound guy to to deal with.
Sure.
Okay, so how long have you been a teacher?
I will be starting my 9th year teaching in Casper, Wyoming this next school year. My 8th year at Natrona County High School.
Yeah. Why did you become a drama teacher?
It's funny, I didn't set out to become a drama teacher. I wanted to be a performer in high school and in college, and at that point, that was the only track that a lot of people hear about is performing. And I had some life stuff happen and had a child very early and decided I would do the next thing that I loved in high school, and that was journalism, because it pays so much better. And so I worked at the newspaper in Casper for about 8 years before I decided to become a teacher. And the drama position opened up at my old high school. And the theater teacher across town said, "You need to take this." I'd been active in our community theater. And so I just kind of fell into it.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about, we're here to talk about a specific production, but that leads me to another question. So, which I know all of our listeners, our listeners are our drama teachers, and many of them are walking into classrooms exactly the way that you did. So
sure.
Not at the beginning of their career, but coming from something else.
Yes.
What was it like your first year just walking into that classroom? It's such a different experience.
Well, you know, my school is really unique. It was built in 1924. It's this amazing architectural style called collegiate Gothic. Our auditorium is beautiful. Well, when I walked in, it was 90 years old and it was showing its age. It has wonderful crown molding and carvings around the proscenium arch, and it just has this wonderful feel. And when I walked in, you know, it was coming back home, because this was where I was a member of the thespian troupe there. We're thespian troupe number one.
No, are you really?
We are.
You said that.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, okay. That's how you know.
So I was a member of that troupe, and then to come back and become the director of that troupe was really special.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm an English major, and sometimes words just completely fail me. Not the environment of that, but the weight. I guess the weight of that is the ritual of that.
Yes,
you know?
And there was a lot of tradition there. I mean, we had a magnificent teacher for whom the auditorium is named, John Welsh, who built this drama program at this school from the late 50s through the mid 80s. And he was a giant, figuratively and literally, in town. And the program had suffered from a rotating crop of drama teachers. Every 4 years, you'd have another one come in. And there wasn't a lot of consistency or people who understood or revered the traditions of the school. So that has been my biggest focus, is building the stature of that program back up. But we also just finished about a 2-year, $15 million renovation of our auditorium space. So I got to oversee the facelift of this center of our community, And it's just been fantastic.
Oh, I can't imagine. Like, what a great, well, you know, just talking about traditions and just maintaining that, but then also moving it forward into the next century so that it's a working space.
Yes.
Now, yeah?
And it's state of the art. I mean, we have a fantastic LED light system. We have chain-driven orchestra lifts. We got a full counterweight fly. We had an old pin rail fly system with hemp rope on a wood grid before this. It scared the life out of me. But, you know, I got a black box theater for my classroom that has full independent lighting and sound. It's a dream come true.
Now you've got what great play places you have, you know.
Yes.
To give your students like experiences. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're experimenting with state-of-the-art technology, and I'm really excited for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful, Zach. Yeah. I love hearing that, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Because you know, you can really tell that there's that you got some joy to have these spaces to work with.
Absolutely.
Cool. So we're here and we are we're going to talk about your production of the Laramie Project.
Yes.
Now, you have a really unique relationship mm-hmm. with this play and also the place, right?
Sure. You know, I grew up in Casper, Wyoming. It's a town of right now just over 70,000 people. But when I was growing up, it was it's an oil town. There was a refinery there. A lot of the kids' parents were involved in the oil industry. And when I was growing up, I went to Crest Hill Elementary School. And a year behind me was a kid who was also involved in theater, was tiny, but was a great personality and a wonderful friend. And his name was Matt Shepard. And so I grew up with Matt through grade school until he left to go to school in Switzerland when the previous oil crash in Wyoming happened to this one. And he, like many students, left. And then about, 6 years later, I see this kid on the campus of the University of Wyoming that I'm attending, going to journalism school. And somebody I never thought I'd see again. And I saw him on campus. We talked a couple of times, and then a couple of weeks later, I picked up the student newspaper and found out that he'd been tied to a fence and beaten.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived. It's an odd experience to have lived through that tragedy, and then also to come full circle and be able to witness the creation of a dramatic work based on it that really elevated the conversation of hate crime and our LGBTQ brothers and sisters and how they're treated, and that does so in a way that's so honest to those people there. When I was working at the newspaper, I got to interview Moises Kaufman before the opening of the Denver Center production.
Uh-huh.
And then we produced it at our community theater in Casper. And when I started at the school, Matthew went to the high school for a year that I teach at, a year behind me. And when I got there, I realized that a lot of my students had never heard the name Matthew Shepard.
Sorry, I silently gave a huge shock on my face. Is that's wild.
Yeah, they maybe hadn't heard it, or if they had, they really hadn't heard about the situation. You know, in Wyoming, we often don't like to talk about our skeletons in our closet. And so I found that a lot of the dialogue in Wyoming, Wyoming felt beat up by this event. And painted as a really homophobic place,
yeah.
Where in some aspects, rightly so, in the late 90s, but in others, a lot of people felt that they were painted unfairly. And I look at the Laramie Project as a love letter to Wyoming to show really the multifaceted community that we are.
It's human. It's a very human portrayal.
Yeah. And so I had started my master's program at University of Northern Colorado, and part of that you have to do a production thesis. And I was thinking, what play should I do? I was looking at all of these plays and thinking, I could do this, I could do that. And then I thought, why don't you do something that it means something to you and means something to your students? Because I have transgender students, I have gay students, I have lesbian students, bisexual, I have, you know, I mean, we have the rainbow in our school in Wyoming, and I wanted to do something that would affect them in some way. And so I picked the Laramie Project.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then let's talk about this production. So your thought was something that would affect your community, also bring some light again to this this story. When you were thinking about this piece in terms of the theatricalness of your vision for this piece, what did you tell your students? What was what in your head was your vision for staging this piece?
Well, first of all, I wanted to do, you know, there's an intense theatricality of this piece. I mean, it's very Brechtian in the fact that you're having a dialogue with the audience. It's not a narrative play where you have characters who are interacting with each other, who are playing obstacles and tactics in the normal way, and it's very much a dialogue to the audience. And so what we wanted to do was focus on the characters and their words rather than the maybe caricature that they could become. And so we had our stage was a set of platforms and stools. I had about 25 kids in the play that they played multiple characters. They would have boxes next to them that would have costume pieces or props that were their character. And so when they would change character, you know, but the cast was on stage the entire play. And then we used projections. One of my friends from the Casper Star Tribune, Jason Marsden, is the president of the Matthew Shepard Foundation. And another one of my friends, Susan Burke, was the Laramie Project specialist for the foundation. And they gave me pictures of locations in Laramie, people involved in the play, and then we used projections to show the different moments of the play.
That's pretty powerful and simple. I think that the notion of a box of props is really, I think, one of my favorite theatrical techniques. And we're here and we're creating a world, and I'm just going to put this hat on and I'm going to become that character, and you're going to believe me. You know, instead of beautiful, you know, I love a beautiful set, but I think theater is our imaginations.
Absolutely. And you know, what I found was I think high school students need to see that theater doesn't have to be realism all the time. That there is that there's place for theatricality, for using symbols to suggest a whole. And so that was an interesting thing to watch them kind of come to terms with. But it was really amazing the way they pulled it off.
Was this their first experience with that kind of theatricality, or?
Yeah, a lot of them, yes. You know, we'd done some things in class and, you know, talked about it. We've done some devised things that are a little more out there. But this was their first full-length main stage show that really wasn't a realistic piece of theater.
Well, you know, because like these days, you know, either they're looking at movies, which are, it's just uber realism, or they're looking at musicals, which are usually that spectacle of it.
And over-the-top spectacle.
Over-the-top, and, you know, we know lots of festivals where that's what they're putting on stage, and Broadway, that's what they're putting on stage. And to give them an experience of, it's back to basics, and you're sharing the story, so you have to be the world.
Sure. Sure. And I think, you know, as far as production elements, anybody could do this show. You know, I had a theater teacher tell me you need three things to do theater. You need actors, you need audience, and you need a space to perform.
In that order.
Yeah. And, you know, and the guy who just got a $15 million renovation on his theater, I try to make that clear to my kids that you don't need fancy toys and amazing lighting and projection systems to do profound, moving theater.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the rehearsal techniques or rehearsal activities you used to get that across for your students and character development and that kind of stuff?
Sure. I approach this one a little differently than I do most plays. We spent a lot of time at the beginning looking at the people, because this is, you know, the thing that I told them as a journalist. What I always valued is getting what people say correctly. And Father Roger in the play says, you have a duty to the people in this play to say it correctly and get it right. And that was what I wanted to get to them. Because I think, you know, for us as artists, it's very easy for us to sympathize with the characters, the Jonas Sloniker character, who is the middle-aged gay rancher who... feels threatened, or Romaine Patterson, who's such a dynamic character. But when you look at the other characters that are giving the more traditional or maybe even homophobic point of view, it's easy to make them rednecks.
Yes, and like a very paint with a wide brush.
Yes, very stereotypical. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that, look, this play is a conversation. And, you know, the character that gets up and says it just ain't right, you know, they have as much dignity to the words that they spoke and three-dimensionality of that character as the one that you maybe identify with more.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thought, that it's a conversation, because that means you have to think about the audience. You know, it's not just I'm all of this stuff is coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just not presenting. We are we're sharing. Yeah. And that means I expect something's going to come back. And mm-hmm. it's a very different performing skill from presenting, where you there's kind of a wall,
sure,
to actually engaging and sharing.
Right. And so we used journal work with this. At the beginning of the rehearsal process, I handed them out a journal. Of course, it was part of my thesis. And so their qualitative answers were my data. But for them, it was very valuable for, you know, at the end of each rehearsal, we would have a discussion question or a writing prompt about what we did that day, or what we explored. What are the things that you're struggling with? Both, you know, in acting technique or just emotionally. I had a lot of students who, you know, who had just come out to their parents, who were in the middle of the confusion of transitioning. I had one student who has, her moms are a lesbian couple. I had some that were high socioeconomic status, and one girl, you know, that her one meal was school lunches. And so we did a lot of time just talking about what are the things that make us different, what are the things that make us the same, and you know, how can we make sure that we don't objectify the other as less than. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had a counselor on call. Her daughter was in the show, and she would come to rehearsals and help with some conversations, which I think is really important.
Well, it's an intense topic all on its own. But if you have students who are relating and also confused, like in their yeah. own in their own world, mm-hmm. you know, to make sure that they're safe too.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I had done this show before as an actor, and I remember how it affected me as an actor. I mean, it emotionally and physically had an effect on me, and I wanted to make sure that I protected the kids from that as much as possible. And then you have the fact of the subject matter.
Yeah.
And you're doing it close to home. You're doing it in pretty much down the street.
Yeah.
Right? And with a lot of people that have a lot of strong opinions about that event. And so we had to talk about, well, the fact that over the course of my experience with Matthew's murder, I've been in four or five different churches or places of work that have been protested by the Westboro Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we had to make, you know, thankfully they didn't come. They've moved on to military funerals or by that time. But we had to talk with the administration about this as a possibility, you know, and the fact that there is a lot of language in this play. There's a lot of F words, and, you know, I mean, you have, I know you have a pretty PG-rated podcast, but, you know, I mean, you have quotes from Aaron McKinney that the reason why he killed Matt is because he grabbed his privates, but they say the word. And so that was the only objection that we had to content, was an email from a teacher in the school saying that they were resistant to the language in the play.
That's a pretty nice way of putting it, though. You know, that's not saying I'm offended and you're horrible and you should go somewhere, but that they're acknowledging that it's them and not perhaps.
And I had a wonderful head principal who, I mean, he backed me up the entire way. He said, I just want you to know I got this email. But what was nice about doing it as a part of the thesis program is I wanted to ensure that no kid just came in and a parent didn't know what they were doing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so as part of the thesis process, it was an IRB thesis, which is the board that looks to make sure that your experiments using human subjects is ethical.
Yes.
And so we had the parents had to sign a permission slip for the kids to even audition. And then once the kids got in, they signed a parent consent form to be a part of the thesis. And then as far as the language went, we followed our district rules, which are, number one, you know, if you're going to show a rated R movie, and if you, the arbitrary ratingness of movies, it's PG-13, you can have one F word.
Yes.
If you do one more, it's R.
Yeah.
Laramie Project has more than that. and so we made sure parents knew it was after school hours. I had an administration that backed me up on it, and that was really wonderful and important.
Well, we've had lots of discussions about how you put on plays in this time where there seems to be a lot more hands raising, saying, no, you can't do this, no, you can't
do
this.
The outrage machine is in full force. I mean, you look at Julius Caesar in New York recently, you know. You know, I kind of teach my kids, and maybe I'm a bit of a renegade, but theater should offend you sometimes. You know, I mean, and if you're offended by the fact that you have high school students cursing on stage, you should be more offended by the fact that these guys took this kid, tied him to a fence, and beat him with an 8-inch revolver and left him at 7,000 feet on an October night in Wyoming for dead. That's offensive to me.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And it's a, well, I'm always amazed at what offends people. I just, the list goes on, but this is how you deal with it, right? It's like everyone knows up front. I think this is what happens in a lot of these cases is that parents are not in the know and administration's not in the know. So don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, you know, there is that adage that it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. But, I mean, our University of Wyoming just had an incident this last week where they were doing a production of The Fantastics, and they presented it to a group of Native American students. And they did, from what I've read, they did a really poor representation of the actor that dresses up as the Indian. And they did a pretty offensive job in these people's minds. They got up and they walked out. You know, I think we as theater artists, we can be provocative, but we also need to let our audience trust us that we're going to take them to a place that maybe they don't want to go, but we're going to do it in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dramaturgical analysis when you're doing these things and making sure that you put, that in the program, I think, is important. I think because I don't think anymore we can just present a play and let it speak for itself, especially dealing with issues like homosexuality or suicide or bullying or mental illness or whatever it is. If you are going to do a play that you want to add to the dialogue, you got to have a dialogue, right?
Yeah, it's not a presentation.
Right.
It's conversation, and also your job's on the line.
Yes.
Like let's not. This is not just, you know, you in I've got a barn and we're going to put something on. Mm-hmm. That teachers have to. I think it's foolhardy not to make that part of the conversation. I like the way you put that. It's like if you want to put that play out there, you need to make sure you're having conversations about
it. Yeah, you have to have the dialogue. One thing that we did is after every performance, we had a Q&A with the audience. Anybody who wanted to stay, you know. What I hate is where they start the Q&A before the audience leaves. We would give the audience a few minutes. Anybody who didn't want to stay, they could go. And then we had great dialogues, and the kids drove the conversation with the audience, and it was a really, those were magical moments.
Yeah. Well, because then, now you've had a theatrical experience and a thing that is actually extending beyond the stage, and that you, and it's like, it's decompressing, it's debriefing, and it's more than a presentation. That's your conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then as far as the rehearsal process goes, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, we were lucky, speaking of great administrators, our school district paid to fly Kelly Simpkins, who was in the original production and a member of the Tectonic Theater Company, to come out. And she did a couple of days workshops with the kids of exploring moment work and going through the creation. We got to have, you know, the kids got to ask questions about what it was like creating this and presenting it, and how did you feel coming up to these people and asking them these questions, and that was really wonderful.
That's really great. As we wrap this up here, what piece of advice would you give a teacher who's looking at this play, who wants to do this play, who is tentative about doing the Laramie Project?
I would say a couple of things. Number one, as Father Roger said, these are real people. I know and am friends with about, I don't know, a quarter of the cast that I, or of the characters, sorry, that I stay in touch with. They're real people, so understand that. They're also real people whose lives have moved on a little bit since this. They get a lot of emails from high school students asking them, what's your favorite color? If you were right there doing, they're trying to do character analysis on real people.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, but at the same time, I look at this play as a modern day Our Town. It is about Laramie, but the point of the play is that this can happen and does happen anywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And really, if you look at the words that are in the script, trust the script, follow the script. And then one final piece of advice I would have is, even though it's a strong symbolic element, I would stay away from doing a real buck wooden fence on stage. That's a personal thing for me, because I think it is a powerful symbol. I think you can do that in really powerful ways. But, you know, and maybe that's my own personal feeling of the event. It's still a hard thing for me almost 20 years on to see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, trust your kids, talk to your administration, create a dialogue and represent the people of Wyoming well, because we have a lot of, you know, we're just like any other place. We have a lot of loving, amazing people, and we have some other people that are backwards in their thinking and need to be woken up.
It's like every town, because I think you've just described every place in every town in every country.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Zach. I really appreciate that you reached out to have this conversation, and I know Laramie's right up there with it's done every year, right? It's done it's done every day.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to, I'm really proud and really happy that we're going to have this out there. Thank
sure.
you.
And just one last thing. If I know the foundation is steered away from their Laramie Project specialist. If there are any teachers out there that want, you know, name pronunciations, if you want any color or you just want any background on the play, you're more than welcome to put my email address up on the website and contact me, because I like sharing the story of my friend Matt.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zach. Before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. Any links to today's episode can be found in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode194. Hey, are you producing one of our plays? We want to hear about it. We want to hear from you. And most importantly, we want to see a picture. We want to see some rehearsal footage. We want to hear what's going on. We're doing production features that showcase you. What are you doing? What are your students doing? What new takes have you got on one of our scripts? What successes have happened? And even what struggles have happened? It's all about showcasing what's going on. And we want to hear about your experience and we want to share your experience. All you got to do is send us the info at tfolk@theaterfolk.com. If you're doing one of our plays, one of Theater Folk plays, we want to hear about it. Finally, where can you find this podcast? Go to theaterfolk.com/podcast. There are a ton of options. We're on iTunes, Android, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. So again, that's theaterfolk.com/podcast. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.